Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 59, Scott Pilgrim versus the Expendables.
Final round.
Fight.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
This is Bluonic.
This is Anvil.
And I think this might be a very special sort of episode that we're going to be dealing with. Because we're going to be dealing with a lot of stuff that we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially over like the last, well, since the movies of the summer started, basically.
Well, for me personally, for almost a year. Yeah, specifically for the movies, because we have two movies that we've been talking about for, well, over a year.
Yeah.
Well, Expendables was definitely, but probably 2 years for me, because I found out about it on IMDb. I was like, what the fuck is this all about?
Yeah, but remember, you and me were hanging out, and you said it to me.
I was just like, what the fuck is this? Statham is doing something with Stallone, and then it started adding up on the cast after 6 months after we found out about it, and then we're like, holy shit.
I'll never forget, the first time we found out, all I said was Statham and Stallone. Those were the only two names in the thing.
Yeah.
And we were excited then.
And then we had Lee, Lundgren.
Well, Lundgren was the last guy to add.
Yeah.
Cruise came next.
Couture. And then they started adding.
And then finally, Lundgren popped up.
Well, you forgot Mickey Rourke, too.
Mickey Rourke was like a last.
He was an
minute.
In between, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like right before Lundgren came.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Bruce Willis and then Schwarzenegger in as a quick cameo.
And then, of course, they throw the Nagera brothers in.
Yep. Before we go on, we are talking about the Expendables right now.
Yes. Yes, we are talking about movies.
If those two were in a fight, I know who to bet on.
Nagera.
Well, no. Antonio Nagera.
But that doesn't work.
Because they still have to share the same first and last name.
You have Antonio Minotauro Nagera and Antonio Ruggiero Nagera.
Which reminds me, please, IMDb, fix that.
Yes, they actually have the same middle name for both brothers.
Well, like a different spelling.
Yeah, well, it's like they left out a letter or something.
Yeah, they fucked up.
It's like they weren't really paying attention.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it suck if we looked at the credits and they, too, fucked up on that?
Yeah, that'd be kind of a hard fix on that one.
Oh, crap, we gotta wait till the DVD comes out to do this because it's really fucked up now.
Yeah.
But, okay, so the premise of this movie is they're going to some island. What was the name of the island again?
Vale?
Selenema?
No, Vale. Something like that. Filet.
Vaseline.
Something like that.
Well,
there was a lot of butt sex on that island. A little bit too much for my taste.
Just so everybody knows, it's a group of mercenaries. You know, soldiers for hire. And it appears that they've been working together for a really, really long time.
Yeah. You know, best friends forever, best friends forever, shooting up those fuckers, because they are all cocksuckers.
Well, it first starts off with them sneaking up on a boat in Somalia, which kind of, like, I was just like, okay, they finally took, a piece from that whole capture or, you know, thing that the Somalian pirates did.
Yep. They're going to fight pirates.
Yeah, exactly.
On the coast of Somalia.
God damn it, stop singing. Anyways... Fucker. It dealt with them like with kind of like a Mexican standoff in Somalia. Wouldn't that be a Somalian standoff?
I don't know.
Anyways, it kind of was kind of funny where I wasn't expecting Dolph Lundgren to be the crazed douchebag that he was, but I guess he was, you know, a little smacked up a little bit, you know.
Smack dab.
No, not smack dab. I mean smack the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How did you feel when he took the grenade launcher to that pirate?
I was blown away.
Yes, literally.
So was the guy who was blown to pieces.
Supposedly a warning shot. Oops. Was a little bit too low. Then I think it was pretty cool that they dropped the lights, and I wish they actually had night vision in that setup where they were just goggle form. Like
Kick-Ass.
Well, yeah, that's true, but like that's the thing. Like the goggles that you usually see nowadays are like hanging off the face by about a foot and a half.
But this was true IR.
Yeah, these were just like IR on the goggles, and they dropped down, and I think the characters handled everything, you know, well. I mean, Stallone did a great job, I mean, especially dealing with the multitasking aspect of the movie.
Do you know who I give the most credit to? Couture.
Couture?
You take a cage fighter and you put him in his first movie ever, put it in an action movie like this, and let him handle it like that.
Well, I think what's actually set him up to be able to have done this part was him going from dealing with cage fighting to actually being an announcer towards it. Actually, he was in another movie, I remember. Yeah, he did a small part in Red Belt. But he played an announcer, so that's kind of an easy part. But more or less along those lines, it's just that he's kind of like, you know, leaned his way into the movie, so he does kind of have a backup plan after he's finally done with fighting.
Well,
he can actually hop into it.
Well, on top of that, too, as Anvil was telling us after we got out of the film, he can also have the backup plan of training actors into getting ready for these sorts of roles.
He still owns Extreme Couture Gyms. But the part that made me laugh uncontrollably is when he explained why his ears were cauliflower in the movie. He's like, hey, I wrestled in college, and then the blood clots in the ear, and if you don't get it taken care of right, you know, it pushes the cartilage and causes the cauliflower. It's like,
The more you know.
Hey, actually, me and Blue, when we watch the fights, I always try to figure out why,
what causes it.
Yeah,
he basically told us that the whole fact that when he was back in college with the wrestling, and it fucked up his ears. It's, you know, when you're wrestling or you're fighting, heads are going to bang up against each other. You're going to get kicked in the head. You're going to get kicked in the ear. It's going to get fucked up somehow. Nobody in MMA really walks out with a pretty ear after they've been fighting for about 20, 30 years.
What he should do? He should go get his cartilage pierced.
I would be afraid of it like spewing out. But like, okay.
Hey, and then it goes back to a normal ear. He's like, pierce the other one.
Yes, please fix it.
But how did you feel about the action sequences as a whole in this film?
Oh my god. Especially, alright, let's take the weapons away from him for a minute. The hand-to-hand combat scenes were so realistic, I felt like jumping in. And like watching Couture fight Austin fighting Stallone. I mean, there were arm bars, they were Superman punches.
Jet Li fighting Dolph.
Well, that was, you know, your normal fight sequences that you see.
Yeah.
But I'm talking, like, the Superman punches.
Yeah.
The arm bars, the chokeholds.
It was very impressive how they handled themselves. And it definitely, it shows you that MMA has come out and helped towards a lot of stuff. I don't think we're not going to be able to see a movie now without MMA. Because of how big that has gotten.
For you guys out there, it's like they took a UFC fight, moved it from the cage, let's say they put
to
it
an actual
rack.
Like background, well, more or less like Venezuela type style.
Well, I would say more Colombia.
Yeah, well, Colombia.
No reason to say Iraq is because, you know, we actually have war there. But,
yeah, that's true.
You know, the full devastation and put them in military clothing.
Well, and like one of them on fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, apparently lately, I've been seeing a lot of more commercialization on UFC. It says Marines are officially basically UFC fighters now.
What they have done is
they've incorporated it.
Well, they've been doing it now for about 7-8 years. It's just got huge because a lot of Marines now are actually coming out of the service and joining fighting organizations.
Not only that, but like Russian Spetsnaz. Look at Mirko Krokov. He was a politician, and then he went into his own SWAT team fucking, you know, political aspect, and then he's now a fucking cage fighter.
He's one of the knockout kings.
So yes. It's one of those setups that it's not everybody's bag, but there's a lot of people out there that are capable of doing this.
Because they were talking about how Steve Austin could have been an awesome cage fighter.
He could have. He still could have. I mean, they did a great job, especially the choreography.
Choreography.
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to name a couple fighters and then a couple actors that could go each way.
Okay.
All right. Guys that are fighters that would make great, you know, actors. Mirko Krokop Filipov.
Yep, I mentioned that. I wish that he could have had a small part in this movie.
Exactly. Couture,
we just saw
him. Both Nagueras, I mean, they were in this movie.
Yeah, they were both in this movie, yeah.
Well,
Gina Carano has been stepping up into movies too as well, but yes. I'm missing her in the cage, actually. I'm wanting her to come back.
Well, Strike Force has tried to do some women's tournaments.
Yeah,
that's why she's not doing
that.
It.
I saw that.
She's not doing it for what reason?
Because they're doing female tournaments right now.
Oh, yeah.
Who else have we seen come out of the cage and go?
Our B.A. Maracas.
Oh, thank you.
I can see Quentin
Rampage Jackson.
I can see Babalu
could do it.
Babalu definitely could.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brock Lesnar play a football player in a movie.
Well, Tito Ortiz, he was actually in, what was it? What was that Jet Li movie where, is it? I don't know. It's
the one.
One with no DMX and all that other stuff.
Oh, Cradle to the Grave.
I think it's either Cradle to the Grave or another one that he ends up like.
Who?
Who? Jet Li.
No. Who's the fighter?
Tito Ortiz.
No, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I know you never heard of him, but anyways.
Oh wait! You mean Tito? I'm the biggest pussy on the earth, Ortiz.
Yes.
Oh,
great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You have to go full name.
I'm sorry. I forgot the pussy. Yeah. You know.
I have a dick.
But, yeah.
Hey, remember, he
no Rammstein right now, no.
He's a pussy, and, you know, by not wanting to fight Chuck Liddell and everything, and come on, he also beat up Jenna Jameson, come on.
Whatever.
Not respected.
Allegations, goddammit. Allegations.
He got arrested for it.
No, the father of Jenna Jameson sided with Tito Ortiz on it.
Said that she was on drugs.
So what?
Okay, whatever.
The court still made him pay a domestic violence fine and go to class.
Yeah, alright. Well, anyways, but I'm just saying that Tito Ortiz is, although he didn't have any parts to say, he was fighting in, like, this kind of side cage battle, and what's his name there, put money on him or something like that for Jet Li to win, and he's, like, running around, bouncing off the cage, kicking everybody's ass, basically. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you could see that a lot of these fighters have gone from cage to movie, back to cage, and gotten fucked up. And mm-hmm. I sometimes feel that if you're done with the cage, then do the movies. If you're not done with a cage, I mean, look at Kung Lee. Kung Lee has been, he's been popping up in movies everywhere.
Do you enjoy it is, or you just take enough time to train, like Randy Couture did. They finished his movie a while ago, then he started training.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're able to give them, if you're able to talk to Dana White and be like, Dana, I got a movie deal, I want to maybe step off the mat for a little bit. Give me at least 6 months to back off and do the movie, and then let me go and do my 4 months training, and then back into the cage.
When I found out that Randy Couture was going to do a fight during the filming,
yeah, that
was petrified.
That was a bad idea. That is a
he did win the fight, right?
Yeah, yes. But it's usually not
decision.
A good idea.
Yeah, but he won by decision. He wrestled around some, so you're lucky.
Yeah. It's like, not in the face, not in the face, I need to go back to Hollywood.
Well, no, this movie was actually so violent that if he was to have gotten roughed up, they would have been like, perfect, I don't have to put paint, you know, like, makeup on you.
Like, bro, you just saved an hour.
Yeah, I know, thank you.
He's like, well, why'd your makeup just punch me a few times?
Now, how did you feel that Jason Statham held himself in this movie?
I liked it pretty well. You know, granted, I felt like he was more of a secondary character in this movie.
Yeah, or the sidekick.
The sidekick.
Truthfully, I would have loved to have had him with a British accent.
He did still have the British accent.
He still had somewhat of it, but not as much.
Like a full accent. Instead of saying, like, he was in the U.S. Army, tell me SAS.
Yeah, he didn't say cunt at all through the whole movie, from what I acknowledge. His signature word is cunt. And I mean, that's only because of the fact of Crank 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that,
Lockstock 2, Smoking Barrels.
That too, and
Snatch.
Snatch, yeah. That too. But anyways.
No, he did not say in Revolver.
No, not Revolver. Not so much in Revolver. But his English accent, you know, that's what
I think he should have done it in SAS, because they're trained a lot of knife fighting, and he loved his knife.
Yeah, he was he was a knife whore, dude. Every like 2 seconds, everybody's like, oh my god, not another one to the throat, no!
It's like throw.
I think the reason why he didn't really, I think, and it's a good reason why he didn't say, he was more of a protector of women, because you saw what he did when he saw that his, well, then girlfriend.
His little, you know, side thing was, you
know. Mark Carpenter.
Well, the other thing that I have to say is the asshole that was sitting behind me wouldn't stop saying sick. Especially mm-hmm. with the shotgun scene. I mean, I know the shotgun is fucking hot, you know, and everything like that, but sometimes in the movies, you just gotta shut the fuck up. Because this guy, every 2 seconds, you're like, dude, that's sick.
Who's in the talking to the girl next to
him? Hey, you know what
I'm saying?
Now you!
I just wanted to stand up, grab him by the fucking throat, and slam him down into the front of two people in front of me because they were being cunts, too. I couldn't stand him. I really wanted to beat the shit out of him. But that's the only thing is that we saw Pilgrim first, but then we went to see Expendables, so there was a lot more
Expendables
people.
And then Pilgrim?
Yeah, because there was a lot more people that would have been laughing and, you know, making more noise because of the fact that you guys wouldn't shut the fuck up!
I heard clapping a lot, and I don't know why.
Because we were getting the jokes in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes, I get the jokes, and I do. But, alright, anyways, back to Expendables.
How did you feel the storyline was in the Expendables? Because for me personally, it felt more like a generic action movie storyline.
No, because you have to think. They go over, they turn it down, but then a mercenary, a man that's not supposed to have a heart,
decided to find himself.
Yeah, he finds that he has a soul.
It got reapplied.
In this woman.
But how many other movies have we seen that done?
Yeah, but do you know what it is? Not at this extent. And I think actually that woman, when she sat there and said, "I have to stay. I need to, you know, protect my
country." Yeah, and then you started noticing what might be her bag. Not gonna ruin it, but yeah, her bag in the whole movie.
Her baggage.
Yeah.
But no, I saw her eyes.
I will give it to them too for not real romanticizing this film.
Yeah, yeah. There was no
women, no kissing or anything like that.
There was one hug.
One hug. That was it.
From Cheyenne.
One thing I have to say is that the fact that this seems like it's a nice dry run for a movie like. Saying like if they would take the video game Mercenaries and turn it into a movie, like this would be the perfect setup, because that's well, I don't know if we should ruin that one. Should we ruin the plane job one?
No.
Anyways, the action scene from that one, that was definitely something that was remnant of a Mercenary thing, like the Mercenaries game.
I saw that that was the best sequence in the whole movie. We won't tell you what it is, but trust us, when you see this movie, you will know.
Well, I liked when the explosions actually happened and everything was coming down.
Yeah, well, there was one explosion that kind of got me, unless the vehicle got hit on the other side, but it looked like it got blown up on the side that it flipped over on, so I felt that it was a little fucked up. Like, there was one that might have messed up, but...
Looks like the special effects got fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
I stepped on it by mistake.
Yeah, but I felt like when they brought out the AA-12 gun, gatey. No, but that's the only thing. It's like, I've known about that gun for, like, maybe a good couple of years now, and I think it's one of the sexiest shotguns out there because it's fully automatic, and along with that, a lot of those people are now educated because of the fact that when, you know, they went in that movie, they probably didn't know a goddamn thing, but when he goes and shows the actual round, that's what the fucking round looks like. That's the exact thing it has.
It
pops up. Yes. It can go at least a football field easily.
If not more.
And that's why he was able to blow up the gun.
You were giggling so much.
I was like,
we were little schoolgirls. We kept them like fun fist bumping and everything.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Shit blown up. Gig.
Yo, he just got blown in half. Oh. Actually,
dude, hamburger meat, man. That was an impressive fight scene where you had the actual, like, Stone Cold going against Stallone there. And that was a funny thing, because when I actually watched the, you know, previous thing beforehand, Stallone was just screaming at the top of his lungs, "You gotta be fucking shitting me," on that, when he flips around on, you know, the character and flips him over and slams him down. He's like, "Fuck me, I'm gonna have to be doing that." And of course, he actually got fucked up.
Yep.
He actually tore something in his shoulder, and it was really ugly. He's like, "Yeah, that tendon is not on attached. It's not. It's supposed to be attached there." He's just like, "So what are we supposed to do?" He's like, "Well, surgery would be nice, fast, right away." He's like, "But then I'd have to put the thing on 4 months, and that there goes everybody." Because he's like, "Everybody else is doing fucking movies." So he was just like,
"Yeah, manned up."
Yeah, because look at Mickey Rourke. He looked just like he did in Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Well,
truth be told, Drew, there's only one thing that would have made this movie better. Beer.
Yeah, well, definitely, yeah, beer.
This is man movie. Gave me a beer, I'd be like, yeah!
Yeah, well, we're not that lucky. We don't have...
Well, we didn't go to the Revere Cinema, which actually serves beer.
Beer and burgers.
Yes, beer and burgers.
And I say man time all around.
Now, you know what? The other place, where was that other place that I was suggesting last time that has the nice Lincoln Continental seats?
The one that Pink Taco said we should do next time.
Yeah, we should definitely do that place.
I think we need to talk with that lady and see if we can just all just go up there next time.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, anything else we want to add to this Expendables? Because I think it's like, we don't want to ruin it for anybody because I felt it was that good.
Yeah.
It was definitely that good.
If you go to this movie and you don't grunt at least once,
yeah, exactly.
You didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
We even heard the duck grunt.
Boom! Gady, gady.
It's like, yeah, that's the man grunt.
Yeah. So, what do we give for a grade for this
movie? Five.
Yeah, 5 stars. Two thumbs up, basically, all around.
I'll give it 4.5.
Oh, you're 4.5 and everything.
No. Now, this puts the question on the table. Seeing that we had these three major action movies that were in the same kind of taste category with between The Losers, The A-Team, and now The Expendables.
Okay.
King, you first.
Okay. The best ensemble, definitely The Expendables. Best storyline was The Losers. Just all-out fun-ass movie to go to was The A-Team.
Alright, so I'm taking Expendables first, then Losers, then A-Team?
Well, I just put them into different categories. Oh.
Just put it 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I would definitely say A-Team first, Expendables, and then Losers.
Okay.
Because I had more fun watching The A-Team.
Well, I'm going to have to put Expendables, A-Team, followed by Losers. Because Expendables is more original. A-Team is actually following a TV show.
Right.
And, you know, just the cast and the weaponry and everything else was just better than Expendables. And Losers was
like... But I felt the A-Team was a lot more clever.
Go ahead.
Truthfully, it was almost written for them because they're following a story that was already there.
Yeah, they were following the one that was back from the 70s show or 80s show right there.
But I felt that they did it with a little bit of an original twist.
Well, yeah, class too.
What it is the movie was originally written way back when, but they never did it. So now they just added a little more modern era to it because I was reading something on it.
Alright, I think I might have to check on that.
Now, the one thing I have to say about this is that I do agree with Anvil. I do put but it kind of was hard for me to say because I do like the A-Team. I kind of want to put them in a tie because they were actually really good.
Okay, I can see that.
And I felt that it was funny and playful with the A-Team because of how, like, you do have the, you know, comedy actors from, like, Hangover and a couple other, like, little areas.
And you got Liam Neeson.
Yeah, and you got Liam Neeson. He could play whatever. I mean, from Schindler's List to every other goddamn fucking thing he's done. He did a great job. Yeah, Darkman and
Green Elephant.
Yeah.
Julie! I'm going to go check off now. Julie!
Anyways, there was that, and then there was... it just felt that the Expendables did a great job with the storyline, and the action was... Which is very true that the guns and weapons were definitely a lot more advanced, but I did like that they brought in... what's his name from District 9 to play the crazy asshole in A-Team?
Yeah,
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he played a great, you know, he did a great job with that, and I hope to see him in more movies because it doesn't seem like his list is added yet, but he's got to be out there because he's so fun.
Although I do have to admit that I do like seeing that Eric Roberts is going up against his sister this weekend.
Yeah. But yeah, Eric Roberts, he did a good job in Expendables too. I think he played a really good bad guy.
The last time I really saw him was in that Killers music video for Mr. Brightside.
That, and I saw him in another movie that he played like kind of lone, you know, he wasn't a mercenary, but he was kind of mafian. But then he went in, and he was just like, I gotta get out of this game, and he laid waste to everybody.
Well, I used to hate Eric Roberts.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, back when he did the movie Wanted, with Keenan Ivory Wayans, that's an old, old movie.
Oh, yeah, now I know what the one you're talking about.
I hated him in that movie.
But now, back to Losers, I can't help but say that that was actually a good movie as well. But that was, wasn't that originally like a comic or something like that? So, yeah you had your basis from a comic, you had one from an original TV show, and then you had one that just came out of Sylvester Stallone's ass. And it seemed to have came out kind of pretty and didn't smell that bad. Anyways, but this
bench pressed and sneezed wrong and shit.
Yeah, he shed out some of his roids, but it seems that it came out to be that I think the losers are on the bottom of this match because I think they're outdone.
Yeah.
The storyline, you know, it was incredible. I did like the action scene where they blow up the Ducati and the guy ends up in the fucking, you know, jet engine and stuff like that. Sorry, yeah. If you haven't seen it, fuck you. You know,
it's been
long
enough.
Yeah, I know. It's been way long enough.
It's already out on DVD, yeah, which exactly. I recommend. If you haven't seen it, go out and see it.
Yeah, buy it, rent it, whatever, because that's a good thing. And then if you, hopefully A-Team's going to be coming out soon on DVD. Yeah. So, yeah. But that was the thing. I felt like it was bullshit that they separated these movies so far apart from each other. I mean, they went losers, and then at least a month and a half, then it was
A-Team,
and then it was 2 months after A-Team. Now we're here to actually watch the movie.
Truthfully, these three movies were all so good. I think around Christmas time, when we have all three of the... Three of us have sent
just gonna sit back, sip some beers, and watch this be like man night. I don't care. It's just one of those things. Just sit back.
Well,
and watch
let's hope that, you know, Expendables is out by Christmas.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, I mean that gives them a 3 month period usually, and then that will die down at that, you know, last month, and then bink, they'll be on DVD as
soon as
you know.
That's what we call a true man Christmas party.
Because right now, as we speak, they're putting it on DVD.
Yeah, well, considering how quickly they do these types
nowadays.
Of things. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Remember back in the day when we had VHSs, it would almost take an entire year for a movie to come out.
Well,
you know how long I had to wait for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze to come out?
I know.
Yeah.
And then Ghostbusters, when those you see them in theaters, like, I want to buy it.
Yeah,
the birthday
came
around the next year. It's like, I'm 4 years older.
True factor on this bitch. You know how much it takes to make a videotape?
How much?
1/6 of a diesel can. Like, literally, it took that much of an oil can to fucking put a videotape together.
Damn.
And believe me, I know this because I was cleaning out a closet of them, and they said, yep, guess how much, this is why the videotapes were so expensive, because the plastic was the most fucking, you know, valuable thing of the whole, oh man.
But now DVDs, they cost cents.
Yeah, basically, you can, you know, that's the beauty of it, you go anywhere, you go on Amazon, you go anywhere, you can get fucking things, I mean, I got the movie Willard for a cent. That was a funny thing, but, you know, it's set up that, you know, that I think there's so many movies now that are being put together, especially that are coming from the East now instead of just the West.
Yeah, because we got the Hollywood East going
on. Yeah, you got Hollywood East coming on over here. It's just that now they're able to be put out the movies, and they stay in the theaters for maybe 2 or 3 months now, drop off, and then they put it in the next couple movies because they get put in the smaller theaters.
Right.
Well, I mean, truthfully, well, you know, when we were kids, you know, a bootleg VHS cost like $12. Now you're getting 5 for 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not saying that we're saying that's a good thing.
I remember when we watched a bootleg version of The Waterboy over at my middle school. Still a felony.
Oh, well.
Wait, which middle school did you go to?
Oh, okay. Oh,
I remember that school, yeah. And which teacher did you have?
So, like, all right, kiddies, don't tell anybody.
Well, no, we don't. Actually, we didn't know who actually brought it in. Like, hey, this is a tape. It should be appropriate for the kids.
Oh, yeah, like Waterboy is appropriate for kids.
Come on, there's that KKK part where you get to see him kicking his face in.
Yeah, there's some parts in there that just weren't for kids. Anyways.
When I was in middle school, they had us watch Schindler's List. Come on.
Well, that's Schindler's List, dude. That's an educational
movie. I was actually, you know, kind of disturbed in the head after, because they told us to watch it at home, and the teacher's like, who watched it at home? I raised my hand, and looked around, nobody else watched it at home. And he's like, well, we gotta watch it again. I'm like, oh.
Son of a bitch!
Because ABC was doing, you know, showing the movie.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and my
well, at least you didn't have to worry about seeing penis on that one.
No, they show uncensored.
Really?
Yeah, it was a special. For movies like that...
They do show uncensored.
They do that with Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, that's true.
My parents refused to watch the movie because it disturbed them.
Yeah.
So I had to sit there by myself and...
Dude, whenever the fuck that's on, like, I'm flipping through the movie channels and there's nothing to watch and I find Schindler's List, I'm watching that because it's just that good of a movie.
It's a great film.
Well, I haven't seen it since middle school, so I'd like to see it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the only thing is you can't watch it in the colored version. You have to watch it
You have to watch black and white.
Black and white, definitely.
Because of the symbolism.
Yeah. All right, well,
And it touches you more.
I think we're good with the Expendables now, and I think we're going to go to the Scott Pilgrim.
There's one thing I did learn from this movie, though.
What?
Every one of us is expendable.
God damn it.
I had to.
Okay, so Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. This is another movie that I've been waiting over a year for. In fact, and I believe it was episode 4, Cherry Pop and Bizzo, I reviewed the first volume of the graphic novel and was talking about how excited I was that there was going to be a movie version directed by Edgar Wright, a.k.a. Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
I'm surprised, actually, Simon Pegg didn't pop up in the middle of this movie out of nowhere. I was expecting him to just be like, hey, how's it going? Oh, shit, why is Simon Pegg in this movie? And then, no, it didn't happen.
Well,
I was extremely disappointed.
He's busy with The Adventures of Tintin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Him and Nick Frost.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, Nick Frost is a good...
Yeah, Nick Frost is awesome. But for those who have never read the graphic novels, first off, shame on you, and you better go to your comic book store or else I'm going to come to your house and beat your face in because you didn't read them.
Yeah, at least you didn't threaten murder.
Yeah. So, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World follows the story of Scott Pilgrim, and he meets his girl, Ramona Flowers, and...
No. He had the Asian girl.
Yes, first there was knives, and then he was stuck in the subspace area.
The only problem that I have to say is the issue with him with knives is that the fact that I didn't acknowledge that he was actually 22. Like, is that really actually from the story that he was 22 going out with a 17-year-old girl?
Yep.
What is that trying to put out? I don't know. I think that could be fucked up.
It's Canada.
Oh, right, that's Canada. That
is Canada.
Oh, no, he's back again. Run away.
Sorry, I thought I was watching a hockey game.
But anyway, with Ramona Flowers, they start dating, and then he gets this email from Matthew Patel.
Actually, before they even technically start dating, he meets her and gets the email.
Yeah, I am Matthew Patel, her first evil ex-boyfriend, blah, 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 blah. This is really boring. Delete.
I'm going to shove my foot into your anal cavity.
Yeah, boom. So then Scott's band, Sex Bob-omb, has a... is in the first round of Battle of the Bands, where they go up against Crash and the Boys. Is that girl a boy too? Yes. While they're playing, Matthew Patel crashes through the roof and starts fighting Scott.
And singing, like, you know,
Bollywood, which was in the graphic novel.
I want to punch him in the face for the evil X.
Well, that, like I said, that was in the original graphic novel. That I was surprised at how well they did that scene. It was to a T.
I didn't see any T's in that scene.
It's a saying.
Oh.
Well, I definitely felt that there was demon girls were pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although they were the same girl.
Hey, I want the two on the right. You have the two on the left.
Although with those teeth, I wouldn't really trust them.
No, they're kind of vampire demons. I don't know, whatever.
They suck your blood when they suck your... So that's when he finds out that he has to defeat Ramona's evil ex-boyfriends. Well, technically, 6 evil ex-boyfriends and 1 evil ex-girlfriend. But that's a long story.
Well, no, that's because that's why she kept on saying. He's like, yeah, 6, you know, your 7 evil ex-boyfriend. Exes, not boyfriends, exes. Mm-hmm. And then you find out why.
Yeah. Because she had dated so many people.
Yeah, well, the whole concept of the bi-curious is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But I see her doing it. Because that girl was hot.
Well, it was May Whitman, and she was in Arrested Development. I believe it was either the second half of season 2 or season 3.
Let me put it this way. In the aspect that I've been told by an actual lesbian, which I hope if she was listening to the show, she might be dying laughing. But the concept is there's a top, and then there's a bottom. Ramona Flowers was definitely a bottom. The other girl was a top, because she was the most dominant one.
Oh, yeah, especially then, with that whip of hers.
Yeah, the whip, and along with that, the football, like...
Oh, yeah. Stuff.
I'm just wondering how these girls... how the girl and, like, a lot of the other characters were getting these special powers or some shit. But, I mean, it definitely made the movie interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were your thoughts on Michael Cera as Scott Pilgrim?
He did a good job. I think that's the little geeky, dork level that they needed to bring him down to. Just because he was kind of like, he was quiet, but then once that asshole came right through the ceiling, he fucking whipped the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then he was just like,
Right back.
They're like, everybody's just like, oh yeah, that's just the usual Scott. You know, it just like, it doesn't happen. I was just like, dude, I wish I could fight like that.
I could fight like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see you flying through the ceiling right now.
No, I meant like Scott Pilgrim, not flying dude.
Well, no, Scott Pilgrim was flying too. But do you remember when you saw him jump? He goes, boom!
He uppercutted him up through like the fucking ceiling, basically.
Yo, just to see you, I can do it too as long as I yell a Dugit. A Dugit!
That and, I thought it was funny that she had to date twins at the same time. Yeah. It was kind of. But then, like, the third fucking evil ex.
Brendan Roth, who plays Superman.
Yeah, that's who it was. That's why I felt he was so familiar. But the whole concept of him being a vegan and going to vegan, what was it, college?
Vegan Academy.
Vegan Academy, right.
And he's a skateboarder and actor.
No, that was Lucas Lee.
Sorry.
Lucas Lee, that was funny too.
Well, he goes from, you know, the Fantastic Four to, you know, kind of this kind of, I mean, I haven't really seen him lately, so I can't really say, but last time it was like Fantastic Four. But him,
thank you.
Him playing an asshole was great. He plays a great. He's good for being an asshole. I think he's on a TV show. I just can't remember.
His facial hair looked awesome on him.
And then he has his stunt doubles with him.
Yeah, the stunt doubles. That was pretty funny. I mean, it was pretty cool that he was getting like the shit kicked out of him, and then that was the thing. Everybody was probably wondering why he got that. He was laughing at the phone or something like that. It was probably one of the guys from the actual thing. Taking a picture and sending it to him going, ha, that's great, now I get my coffee. And then he's like trying to sip that back and all of a sudden he turns around and Scott's there going, you're on stage. And then I just think it was funny how he kind of went out. Like, he didn't go out fighting more or less. He went out on a stupid stunt.
He bailed.
Yeah, he bailed.
And I loved what they did with the whole video game aspect too. Like, when he was skateboarding, it was like when you grind something in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, the last fight scene was actually pretty impressive because you could actually see like almost the bit. They tried to make it look like it was the 8-bit fighting, which was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely interesting. I liked it.
Awesome.
Good point.
Now, what did you feel about Ramona Flowers, who was played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
I'm in love with her.
She looks like one of Nanya and mine's friends.
Truthfully, I fell in love with her back when she played Bruce Willis's daughter on the very last installment of Die Hard.
Which one? Which one are your friends?
Yeah, which one? Yeah, which one?
One of our other lesbian friends.
Yes.
So what's her name?
Fuck!
I can't tell.
No discretion. We'll get it later.
Well, I can only refer to her as Cherry. Because her last name is German for cherry.
All right, we'll find out later. Anyways.
You were so telling us, because we will need to.
We'll find her. I don't care if she's lesbian.
See her.
I just want a hug.
Now, not only with Michael Cera and Mary Winstead, we also had Kieran Culkin, Macaulay Culkin's brother, as Wallace.
Hey, what about Ramona? I liked her colored hair.
Yes.
The colored hair was sexy.
Blue was awesome on her.
I loved the blue. Mm-hmm. The green second favorite because I do like Toxic Greed. For some reason, look sexy in a woman.
It looks sexy on her. Yeah.
But the pink was definitely one that got me from the actual commercial, but then when I saw her in the blue, I was like, giggity, 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 goo.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was another fist pump we had.
Yes.
But that was the only other problem that, like, Scott went into a whole, like, rage. He was just like, she changed her hair! She changed her hair! Again! Oh my god!
See, I think I'd be the one that would be like, yeah, it's like having a new girlfriend every week.
I know!
Week.
Exactly! But that was the other funny thing was Knives. She tried to do the whole like blue thing, and then from the third thing, she got slapped, and you're like, oh my god, he slapped the hair dye off of her.
Yeah.
He slapped the streaks out of her hair!
Yeah.
I loved that, that base battle that Scott Pilgrim had with Brendan Roth.
Yeah. Back to Macaulay Culkin's brother there.
Yeah,
I think that was pretty fucking hilarious, but I think he played too much of a good gay guy that he wasn't actually gay. I think he played a good actor.
He just went overboard.
Yeah.
Which, if you've ever read the Scott Pilgrim comic books, you will know that he is a very overboard
guy. I'm sorry,
gay.
But if I was a girl, a.k.a. Scott Pilgrim's sister there, and I was on a date with a guy, and then all of a sudden turns around and look that my boyfriend is, like, making out with another guy, and going, what the fuck, you're, like, one of my best friends making out with my guy? I would have fucking killed it. It's like, and then like the other thing is like, oh my god, he wakes up out of a dream, and then like, oh my, you know, he's like all fucking four of them all pop up, and he's just like, how could you fit four people on that bed next to Scott? I don't know how the hell they did it.
Well, you lay on the side.
Yeah, exactly. But it was pretty funny, like...
They connect my Legos.
Sorry.
I'm gonna go puke now.
I can't believe that.
No, wait, they're all laying on their backs.
Wait.
They all had a sleepover.
Thanks, Blue. You know, you just laid that one out there like a hanging curveball to David Ortiz.
Well, you gotta throw a slobber knocker once in a while.
A slobber knocker?
Slobber knocker.
That's what you call a home run pitch, that when the pitch, the batter sees it, he starts drooling because he knows he's going to crank it up.
Okay.
Exactly.
When they throw the hanging curveball, it goes to drop. It's not as fast. It's like right there.
But it can fuck
like,
people up too.
Yes.
Your tongue comes out, the drool's just all over your neck and shirt, and you crank it. By the time you get back, there's a trail of drool everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let's see. Anything else about this movie that we should talk about? Or
Let's rate it.
I think with the actual trailer to the thing, they didn't cut out a lot of shit. Like, there's actual shit from the movie in the trailer, because I've been noticing too many times that... I mean, when we saw the other guys, remember there was the whole part where... I forgot to mention this, actually, last time, but there was the whole part where the guy is up on the building, and he's like, I want a job, you know, and then he's just like... He didn't even go through the explanation of the sweet death part. And then he goes, oh, look, he's flying. And then he slams down, and then
There's a second jumper!
There was a police officer that goes, hey, there's a second jumper! Hey! You know, that was when now it went in the commercial, and you're like, god damn it, they fucked with us again.
Actually, Expendables was the same way. There was almost nothing cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you. That's...
We got two movies in a row that, you know, were like that.
Now, what'd you think of also the score of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World? Not the soundtrack, but the, like, battle music that you were hearing in the background.
It sounded like classic video game.
Yeah, it sounded like, It definitely had its rhythm to it with the actual 8-bit beats and 16-bit, too. I mean, they were all rocking the Nintendos in order to get that music sound.
I love after the first fight when he hits it in the air.
K.O.
Yeah. That one was pretty cool. I like that aspect that they added to it. You know, the voice acting was great.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet the guy that did that.
Yeah, it's Bill Hader.
Well, yeah.
I want him to do my ringtone. Answer your phone.
I could get it.
Answer your phone. No. Oh.
Yeah. So, what do we rate this movie? Let's rate this film.
Ladies first. So that means you go first, Doc.
I'm not a lady.
Fine, I'm a lady.
No.
Well, actually,
I've got a vagina.
Hold on. Nenya said this was a really cute film.
Yeah, that doesn't count. You were hanging out with the ladies, so that makes you a lady. That's why.
Hey, I'm popular with the ladies.
Hey, listen.
Dude,
I've got the heat pussy. I'll start.
No.
No.
Circle.
Circle jerk?
You first.
Fine. Okay, so as someone who has read the comics...
I have to, because I know what he's going to rate it.
I felt this was a very perfect adaptation of it. I'm giving this as an easy 5 stars.
Knew it!
I was blown away. Yes, there are some elements that they changed from the comic to fit it, but they were good changes. And on top of that... For those that have read the 6th book, it kind of sort of ends the same way. So they did their homework. I believe maybe their creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, might have hinted Edgar Rice, saying, this is how we're going to end it. Says, okay, we'll fit that into the script. But then Brian was like, okay, but I don't know how I'm going to get to that point. So from there, from the twins to the final battle, go with it. See what you can come up with.
Well, now, that's the question that I have to deal with in this part, is that, yes, I give the movie at least a 4.5 easily, because it's really that good. I feel that it's up there in, you know, probably from graphic novel to the actual live action, because they, you know, they were doing, you know, the weird words. Sometimes it got kind of annoying with the actual words over certain things, like him banging his head against the fucking telephone pole. Even though it should have been a thumping sound instead of a thunk. But I guess that's how they portrayed it in the book.
Yeah, and that's what I like too. It felt like you were watching a comic book.
But with the other aspect of this is that How, you know, because I've heard of it, which was Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe, I thought that was actually a whole separate series. Because of how they ended this, it looked like they could have been like, hell, you want to come along with me? Let's go and hop into the next thing. But it seems like maybe they're not going to make another movie out of
this. No, because book one is Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life. Book two is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Book three is Scott Pilgrim and the Infinite Sadness. Book four, Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together. Book five is Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe. And book six is Scott Pilgrim's Finest Hour.
Okay. Okay. Well, now I understand that. But yeah, definitely 4.5 on my aspect. And they did a great job in the movie.
I just felt that they
should have done chapters. You got a four?
I give it a four. Yeah.
Okay, so now what were your issues of the movie?
I think, for one, when he's fighting Lee. What's his name?
Lucas Lee.
It could have been a better fight, except him dying, you know.
That's how it happens in the book.
And then fighting the twins, that wasn't a fight.
I will fighting himself, what the fuck?
He did, gorilla fights his head.
Well, that is somewhat how it happened in the fifth book, but there are more scenes in the comic with the twins, and the twins actually have robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could have, you know, pushed him out there and made him a little bit longer scene.
But the fight scene on that was pretty badass. I mean, especially with them creating their little monster their aspect, but and then the two twin dragons coming out.
They could have made it a little bit longer, and the one against Lucas Lee, they could have made the fight a little bit longer. He could have fought him again, and then, you know, get knocked down, and then challenge him to the thing. You know, just push it out there a little bit more. A little bit more action.
But I felt that it was very faithful to the books. And
yeah, but the book doesn't tell you, you know, how many times they can fight before they end it the way the book wants it.
Well, I felt that, like, maybe some of the actual fight scenes, you know, sometimes ended a little bit too short. I mean, I think the first fight scene, that
was a pretty good one.
That was all right. It could have just been a tad bit longer. I don't like the whole concept that they didn't even use the, you know, the demon girls. They just sat there on, vagina. It's like, whoa, okay, calm down. Watch it with them teeth. But more or less, when the second fight came along, it was, I don't know, I don't know if I could say it was simple. Which one was the second fight?
That was Lucas Lee. That was the one with the skateboarding.
That seemed a little bit easy. He got his ass whipped around, and then he kind of like, I got a challenge for you, you know, kind of thing, and had him grind down a shitload of poles, and he crashed, you know, and crashed the fuck out. He's like, oh, there's a bunch of girls looking. Oh, yeah, now I have to take the challenge. Then there was the third one, which was the ex-girlfriend with the guitarist.
Yeah.
And that guitarist was pretty ridiculous because of the vegan powers. And he had to trick him into getting out of the vegan powers by giving him the, you know, coffee because he could read his mind. But the fourth one was...
The girlfriend.
No, fourth and the fifth one.
No.
Oh, no, wait. Number four was the girl.
Five and
six was the twins. But that felt like she came in, she fought him, but I think she, you know, she was in between.
Yeah.
And then she came in as the fourth one, fucked shit up, and then she got defeated. I felt like it was a really weird point. Yeah. Let's just say a poke. But it wasn't in the vagina area anywhere.
On Facebook.
Okay, for those who've ever seen Ally McBeal, it deals with something that Lucy Liu's character really liked one of the other lawyers to do to her.
Oh, right.
I like to do that to Lucy Liu, too.
Wait, I know. What was it? With the guy, Broken Lizard, when they did Club Dread. Remember, there was the guy who played Fyra in Super Troopers would go and touch people. He's like the holy, you know, the god spot, and they just all like orgasm because he was, you know,
pretty much, yeah.
So it was basically that, but behind the knee. Anyways, then there was the twins, which was the cool battle, and then the last
Gideon,
which is G-Man, basically as they called him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was an okay fight. He's one of those dork characters. I know he's like. He's a dork, but he can also play a douchebag. So, Dick/Douchebag.
He did both.
He was like, ha-ha, and then he was just like, hey, giddy, and then he got everybody to sign contracts and shit. It was kind of weird.
And Steven Sills peed himself.
I'm wondering if he actually did.
Well, he went pee. That's it, pee.
Yeah, I mean, they pointed at his pants, but I couldn't see it with the darkness. The wrong light, you couldn't see it. They should have been like, shine a light on that.
Yeah, they should have put a spotlight
on it. Yeah, I know. They should have been like, boosh, and he was like, whoa.
So let's move on to the original motion picture soundtrack of Scott Pilgrim, because a lot of the songs that were performed by Six Bob-omb were written by Beck.
Ah. I wonder why they were so fucked up.
I don't know any of the music. I didn't listen to any of it.
Well, you heard it in the movie.
No, I didn't. I don't listen to music in movies.
When I was listening to the soundtrack in the movie, the Sex Bomb stuff reminded me so much of like Guitar Wolf because of the way it was recorded.
Yeah, the way
like,
it was, the way they presented themselves and stuff like that.
The garage rock sort of sound.
But yeah, when they were playing like the actual music and they were doing like the little lightning bolts around, you know, their band.
Yeah,
it was cool. But some of the other bands were kind of cooler because they had more of like the things.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked when they were doing the band fight. The battle of bands. And the other team comes out, and he's just like, oh my god, how are we going to go up after that? And then Scott just beats the shit out of him and says, get out there and fucking sing! Loud! Now!
Crash into Boys, and on the soundtrack, it's done by a Broken Social Scene. This song is called I'm So Sad, So Very, Very Sad. So sad! Thank you. You guys suck! Okay, this song goes out to that guy out there. This song is called We Hate You, Please Die. Which I think is a really good anthem for, you know, people like us who have to deal with assholes in our job.
Oh, yeah. Too many assholes, too little time.
Hey, remember, if you take blues and ducks, people, you know, that are assholes to them, combine them and multiply them by 100, and that's what I face a week.
But what did you think of the song that was performed by Scott's ex-girlfriend, Clash of Demon Head? Because that was Metric's song, Black Sheep.
I actually liked it.
Yeah, that was actually pretty badass. I did like that.
Yeah. I think that was a great song. I've heard of Metric. I don't know. I haven't heard much from them.
Who was the actual actress?
The actual actress who played Envy Adams.
Or Natalie? Was it Natalie?
Yeah, Natalie, a.k.a. Envy Adams. That was Brie Larson. I'm trying to think of what movies that she might have been in. Well,
she starred In My Pants.
No, that's that porno dude. Never mind.
Well, nothing. Well, I'm looking online right here. Probably nothing that you guys have
heard. Well, anyways, let's go with it. Anyways, but yeah, what else did we? I mean, was Prodigy on that soundtrack?
No, I believe they're on the score though.
Oh, what the fuck, man! Why the hell would they do that?
It was just for the trailer. A lot of movies do that.
But it made the movie so badass. I mean, Invaders Must Die is a good fucking song.
Yeah, I know it is.
Take Me to the Hospital, because that's another good song.
But in the
score, you have to listen to it. It's good.
But in the score, the song that the Kananagi twins do, that's done by Cornelius. He's a Japanese rock artist that I play on my radio show from time to time.
Yeah, now I remember him. Yeah, definitely sounds familiar.
But I've listened to the soundtrack. I liked how they used the Rolling Stones when Gideon appeared and that Under My Thumb.
Yeah,
that's where he's got Ramona in,
basically.
But, you know, I have to give this soundtrack 4.5 out of 5. I'm not sure what you guys thought of it as a whole.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I'll definitely agree with the 4 to 4.5 easily because of how they're set up. I mean, not every song was to my taste, but it was definitely a good
episode. But I will say that two songs fit the movie perfectly well, and that was T-Rex's Teenage Dream and Broken Social Scene's Anthems for a 17-Year-Old Girl. Those were played during when Knives was being heartbroken. Those two songs just fit with her perfectly because you kind of sense what she was going through emotionally because she was in love with Scott.
Yeah.
And then she got her heart broken.
I know that feeling all too well, but if she was a little bit older, then I'd be fine with it because of the fact is I do like Asians.
I concur with everything you're saying at this time, from 4.5 to the two good songs to the really hot Asian.
Don't mind him, he's drunk. No.
Yeah.
Hey. Alright, fine, later you're drunk.
Thank you.
I just don't have Jackie D, I'm sorry.
I got it at home, it's okay.
So let's then move on to video games. And the first video game, we're going to talk about Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game.
Kraken at home, too.
That's a lot of Scott Pilgrim.
That is a lot of Scott Pilgrim.
Kraken. Kraken.
I've
been drinking by myself.
Oh, really? Coffee mixer, eh?
Now, this was more based on, like, the classic side-scrollers, like your River City Ransoms, your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
Your Simpsons arcade game.
Ooh!
Hey, that game was awesome.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
Fine! Fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah!
And I wrote a review for this. It'll be up, well, it is currently up by now.
No, it's
on Esh site. And it's good? But holy fuck, it's hard.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, especially when you play it alone.
Yes. Yeah. But doing everything alone is hard.
But what did you guys think of the setup of this movie?
I liked it.
Video game.
I liked it.
You liked it? Well, what did you like about it?
I punched and kicked everybody.
Go on.
I was using knives.
In their face.
That, and I mean, some of the characters were pain in the ass to kick their ass, also seeing that I haven't been able to play, like, an 8-bit version game, side-scroller version like that in a long time. Mm-hmm. Or actually maybe 32-bit, because I think I remember, like, some of those games actually being on Sega.
Right.
Sega.
Anyways. But back with that, it seems that, you know, I always hate that, the jumping aspect of it, because it's always how they designed it. Mm-hmm. For their jumping, and I'm kind of used to my own version of jumping.
Yeah.
I'm not a bunny rabbit jumper. I need to actually do full jumps. And this one actually was a full jump, but it wasn't the way I liked it.
Okay.
That's why I kept falling in that fucking lava pit.
Well, there's more of a double jump when you level up. Because that's the thing. When you play this game, you will, like, die a lot. But that gives you the chance to level up more and more and will help you to win these levels a lot easier. Especially when you get up to, I believe, level 14, which is when you grab a weapon, instead of hitting a person once, you hit them 3 times instead.
Ah, okay, so you're trying to, you know, well, you upgrade yourself just like how they did in the movie.
Yeah, basically. Now, when we went to PAX East, we saw the band Onomatoguchi, and they had premiered one of the songs from this video game. What were you thinking of the soundtrack of this?
They did a pretty good job. I mean, it was definitely interesting because of how the setup that they did. They had, like, when we were there, they were rocking 2 Nintendos. It wasn't Super Nintendos, it was just regular Nintendos. And they were like, well, we're trying to, we just got to back up Nintendo 2 as well, because of the fact is sometimes the Nintendo just gives out, you know? And I'm just like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have just designed it so you could have put it in a computer? I mean, it would have been just so much easier that way.
Well, they wanted to go old school with it.
Yeah, but it was definitely impressive how they were able to play the music and put it in, you know, put it in for the actual thing. Yeah. But also playing it live, I don't know, they played it too perfectly.
Yeah.
I think it was a little, you know, played or mixed in there, you know? Like, they just mayhaps. Played the background.
Mayhaps.
Yeah, mayhaps. Yeah, there you go.
But the drummer.
Milli Vanilli.
No, no. No, no, no. I don't think it was Billy.
Milli Vanilli. Teehee.
So, what would you give this game?
I mean, yeah, the game actually... Four. Four because it felt like it was a little annoying with the fighting parts, but... I mean, if you're able to finally get good at it and get leveled up, I think you'll fly through it a lot better.
Now, one issue that a lot of people are talking about with this game was that there's no online gaming.
Well, it sucks to be them.
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, this was the type of game that's set up so you and your friends
get together in the same room and play.
Like when you would used to play on the arcade, you know, in the arcade box, all four of you were, like, scrunched together, tapping all the little buttons and moving the little joystick all together.
Well, the other one that I have to say is that back in the day, there wasn't really online connections in the first place, so they're kind of giving it the aspect of that, because, well, I mean, there was that whole Sega Online thing.
Yeah.
But that didn't go over so well because not everybody had it, and plus, going through a phone line sucks balls.
Yeah,
because
it takes too fucking long.
Yes, especially connecting. But at least if you were able to play Earthworm Jam on it, then you were happy.
Oh, remember the days of 14.4K modem?
You kids have it too good. Fuck you.
We hate you all.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish they would come out with that whole, like, juice so you could, you know, survive a little bit longer, because I want to see some of the good technology coming out.
Otherwise, remember when we were kids how horrible computers were?
Oh, yeah. Loading up Prodigy.
No. I remember the Hewlett-Packard one where you have to type in all the fucking codes in order to get into anything.
Yeah. RR47892.
Yeah, I mean, that, and then there was the old days where the apples back at the school, you had to type in the fucking code to get the cursor to move around the thing. You didn't actually have a mouse. It was that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Lynn Mudge, you fucking assholes.
No, well, I remember, like, I used to play this one game, I don't remember the name. You were this adventure guy, and you had to jump out of a helicopter and parachute into the water and swim, but it was all, like, digitalized looking. It was horrible.
Secret Danger Man?
That's it. Secret Danger Man and Commando.
Yeah, Commando is also bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the whole sad aspect. Like, when you know, I was able to download the Duke Nukem game and play it. I wanted to puke because the graphics were so bad and how the movements were.
Awesome.
Yeah, back in the day they were awesome. We were like, we were so fixated we would actually acknowledge how it was moving. Now it's like, oh my god, I'm going to be sick because I can't. Everything's moving at the wrong angle. Everything's moving too fast.
Well, if you really think about Scott Pilgrim versus the World as a whole, seems to really define our generation. Those that grew up in the 8-bit worlds and the
8-bit to 32, and then up to what we are now.
We're definitely. I coined this on Twitter. We're Generation G. We're Generation Geek. Because I know that there are different types of geeks out there. We got the video game geeks, the anime geeks, the
sports
geeks, the
thank
movie
you,
geeks.
Thank you. Woo! I love the sports geek.
Where the fuck did you come from?
Right, I pop up in weird places.
Well, anyways, especially in the vagina. Anyways, the whole thing with that is that we were able to actually see the whole game system in an evolution.
Yes.
Which makes me want to believe in the more concept of evolution, because shit just doesn't go up overnight. Like, you could have not have popped up an Xbox 360 out of your ass back in the 80s.
Yeah.
No fucking way at all. I mean, you had to go from ColecoVision to, you know, the fucking...
NES, to Turbo Graphics, to Sega Genesis, to PlayStation 2. PlayStation 1, to Nintendo 64, to PlayStation 2, to Dreamcast, to GameCube, to Xbox 360...
No Xbox regular, and then there was just all that other shit.
Yeah,
Atari.
Atari too.
Atari Jaguar.
Yeah. Oh man, Sega CDs, Sega everything.
3DO, CDI.
Most people are like, "What the fuck are they talking about?"
Google it, motherfucker.
Motherfuckers, look up like the evolutionary phase of video games. Fuck, otherwise I'm gonna have to do one.
Yeah.
When you used to put your video game in and here, you know, since you're on. Sega or Nintendo.
No, there was never a song for Nintendo.
No, it was just
Bink. Certain games have it.
Well, yeah, but then that was the other thing is that those ones were like burnt into our heads, because every time, or the otherwise the cartridge blowjob.
You know, that would have been funny if that happened in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. Well, that was the other thing in the movie, was that Scott Pilgrim was like, hey, what's this whole thing? I've got a computer thing. I just ordered something from Amazon. What is that again? Amazon CA. How do you do that? And then did the order. And he's like, huh, that's funny. I've got an email. Wow, this is really boring. Click, you know, I don't know. It was kind of like in the aspect that he didn't touch a computer or anything.
Yeah.
But it is Canada, so I don't blame it.
But they actually kind of had an older looking computer as well.
Yeah, they had the big ass monitor. I think they were trying to give it to the story. But when was the story actually created?
Like 2003.
Well, yeah, okay, I could see that now. Yeah, I could see that, because that was when it started really coming up. I mean, I remember the computer really starting out in Windows 95. Was really when the computer that you see today basically has gone through the century.
And now they're paper thin. And
yeah, they're paper thin, and you got flat screen monitors, everything along those lines.
Flat screen TVs.
And, you know, Macintosh actually came back and started kicking Windows in the ass.
And Bill Gates was huge back then.
Well, Bill Gates was, that was the thing. Bill Gates stole it from the guy from Apple, and then the guy from Apple was like, fuck you, I'm going to mess you up later on, and they're doing that kind of right now with the whole iPods and all the other bullshit.
iPods and iTouch.
iPhone.
It was like, hey, heal me with a Zoom. Oh, wait, that's right, I have an iPod like everybody else does.
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah, especially if you have a Zoom, you're out of, like, the loop.
All right.
But it seems that this game, you know, well, game to movie and everything in between, it kind of brought you back to the old days of sitting in front of the small-ass TV and playing a game.
Yeah.
Not this big-ass TV now that we have now these days.
Like in your room, in my room.
Yeah.
In my room.
Yeah, your room too now.
Oh, cool.
He's got one. He's a nice big-ass one too.
I've had it for a little while.
What is that, the digital CRT ones? Because he's got a good one too. That was at the end of like the age of CRTs, but that's when they were the best, because they had the CRT regular version. Then you could plug in your fucking your computer or laptop to it by VGA. You could plug it in HDMI, everything like that. That was the day when, you know.
Yeah, because when I got my TV, you know, it came with a really cool stand or silver. You helped me move it up when I moved.
Yeah.
And it's actually high def compatible too.
Yeah, cool. So I got the high def. You could put an HDMI cable in there too.
When I watch sports, oh my god.
Yeah.
So let's move on to sports.
Party. Yes! The sports geek is here!
What was this rating again on this week?
What do you mean?
Three? Was it 3 out of 5?
My scoring for the week of sports is 3 out of 5 because the New England Patriots played their first preseason games against the defending Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints.
Yep, and now it's over, so we can cut off the thing, right? We could cut this now? Yeah, that's it, right?
Please? Basically.
Yeah, right?
Well, there's a couple small things I got to throw in there. 27-24. Unfortunately, star defensive end Ty Warren is out for the year now with a torn labrum.
Yeah, that's got to suck.
But Derek Burgess is not retiring, so he's a good fill-in.
Nay.
Also, Rajon Rondo made the U.S. team, who actually just beat China. He had 7 assists in the prelim game.
Good old Rondo. We can always trust on him.
Yes. And
especially with that back injury almost obtained, like, from that the last match they had.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the Red Sox are on a small skid. Hopefully, we pick it up. We blow
small skid,
dude. That's more like the shit stain in the fucking underwear that made it through everything.
We blew the last two games. And actually, Tampa losing yesterday, we could have actually wound up helping ourselves out.
Yeah, but lo and behold, shit happens.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that now.
Okay.
I guess we should tell the fans that we didn't get into the UFC fan con.
Yeah.
UFC denied us access as members of the
board. But it's not a bad thing because we're not the only ones.
Yes.
There's a lot of bigger companies that got their shit kicked out, and said, fuck you, we can't put you in because there's too many others.
Yes.
I wish as a Boston-based group we could have gotten in, but now we're just going to kick back and watch the fight anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way we can relax. And
if you want to, contact us at, either King Baby Duck or Blue Onyx or Anvil, at Boston Bass Brigade, and you want to just chill out and watch the game with us, throw in a couple bucks. We get some pizza or do something like that, and watch the fight.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about going up to BJ's and buying some food up there.
Fuck yeah, throw it on my grill.
Well, actually, I got some really good DiGiorno pizzas up there. 3 of them for like $12. It's really good. And get like a case of pizza rolls.
Mayhaps.
Pizza rolls!
We're going everything right now. So, sports is a little bit light this week. Because, like I said, the Red Sox are on a skid. Dustin Pedroia is going to be playing with the Paw Sox this weekend. He should be back by Tuesday. And all is good.
Cool.
And let's cut this up so we can head off to watch the Sox.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, actually, Sons of Anarchy first, then the Sox.
Beer.
Okay. So,
ice cream and beer and beer. Ice cream and beer. Do the ice cream and beer.
That's going to taste like shit.
No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a fried ice cream.
No.
Actually, ice cream. Yes.
Tastes horrible unless you use Guinness. A dark beer tastes really, really good.
That's true.
There's a bar that sells it.
Interesting.
Dude.
Vanilla ice cream with
beer Guinness. Float.
That's what it is.
Giddy.
All right. Let's stick a fork in this.
Yeah, let's stick this fork in the show, and then now we can leave those video games for next week.
Okay. So remember, check out our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos. And if you want to contact us, it's TheBastards@BostonBashBrigade.com.
We are also on MySpace.com/BostonBashBrigade. Along with that, we got a group on Facebook, and we've been actually putting up stuff that we've been doing for articles up there. We're trying to see other ways of putting out stuff. Maybe even Twitter, I guess.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to finally fall into Twitter, which I didn't really want to.
The
Twittering. The only time you should be Twittering is... Never mind.
Hey, I have a Twitter account and I never use it.
Good job, Slut. All right, otherwise I'm going to be getting a new phone sometime in the near future and hopefully it would have Twitter on there. So then I could finally come up with a funny...
Well, your Xbox has got Twitter.
Fuck that one. I don't like it. That's like Facebook on there. No. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I like the Facebook on the Wii because it's... You got your cursor in your hand. This one is like, you're moving the fucking thing around with your sticks.
Good point.
So it kind of sucks for me. But I got the keyboard actually on my controller, so I can type things faster.
Yeah. Oh, damn, that's what I forgot to buy.
Ah, but you could get it later.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you ladies were done. on? You're over here cackling.
I'm sorry. We're playing a little bit of grab ass, and we got got away from ourselves. All right, got it.
And don't forget to check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. And don't forget also check out Geek Aggro. And whoa, I got it. We have breaking news.
Vagina?
I have a belly button.
God damn it, not again. Shut the fuck
up. So, yeah, I think that's about it. We don't even know what movie we're going to do next week.
Yes, we do.
Check it.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
We'll check it from Blues.
Either way, I don't know. It seems like you should hit movies. Movies, goddammit, movies.
Yeah, see more movie titles.
Damn it, you son of a bitch. I said movies at the top. Yes, we want to go see Eat, Pray, Love.
No, what was the one that we were seeing?
There's Danny McPhee, Piranha 3D, Vampires Suck, Lottery Ticket, and The Switch.
Oh, Vampires Suck.
Vampires Suck is probably one of the ones I might want to see. Lottery Ticket, not so much, because it seems like it's been done before.
Yeah.
It's basically a kid wins the lottery, and he's in the ghetto, and he's got to get his ass beat a bunch of times and make sure he gets his ticket back. Kind of boring.
All right, so let's end this now.
Okay, so until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Luonic.
And this is Anvil.
Think sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
Quick, Anvil. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
No, the other L word.
Lesbians?
It's love.
I love vagina.
Show over.
Thank you.